Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the balance of grace and faith is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
That's what the Sabbath was a picture of. It never was about observing a certain day. It was just a way of God getting this truth across to people that I'm your source. Trust me. The Lord hates this type of attitude where people only serve God one day a week or something. What this was symbolic of is that I'm your source. Trust me for everything. That's what the Sabbath was picturing. And people today who are sitting there and enforcing a day, and like I was raised in a semi-legalistic home. It wasn't as bad as some people, but we didn't mow the grass on Sunday. You couldn't wash dishes on Sunday. You couldn't do housework on Sunday. That was the Sabbath, which in the first place, Sunday isn't the Sabbath. And so some people who've become aware of that think, well, then we need to be a Seventh-day Adventist and we need to observe the Sabbath on Saturday. They're missing the point. The reason the church started meeting on Sunday was because that was the day that Jesus was raised from the dead, and they had a revelation that we were redeemed from the Old Testament types and shadows. Now we were living in the reality of trusting Jesus, and they made a clean break between the Old Testament law and the New Testament, and yet many New Testament Christians today still have a Sabbath-keeping mentality. They feel guilty if they go out and do certain things on the Sabbath. Some people keep the Sabbath on Saturday and enforce it and get real mean. I used not to go through a toll booth on Sunday. I'd drive 40 minutes out of the way so I wouldn't pay a person to work on Sunday. There was years, the very first revival meeting that I ever held, I held a revival meeting, and on Sunday morning they were going to take me out to eat, and I said, no way am I going to go out to eat and help somebody work on the Sabbath and help them be a Sabbath breaker. And so they had a whole group of people that were there to take me out, and they went by themselves. And I didn't go. Some of you think, well, that's a little legalistic. Well, if you're going to believe it, believe it. I mean, if you want to go back and observe the Old Testament Sabbath, well, then it would be more appropriate to do like the Pharisees did. They counted the number of steps that you could walk on a Sabbath day. Did you know the Essens, the people who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls that John the Baptist was raised by, in their writings, it was considered work to have a bowel movement on the Sabbath day. You could not have a bowel movement on the Sabbath day. It was against their law. If you're going to believe it, believe it. For you to just be partially under it and observe it a little bit, it's hypocritical. Either we're under the Sabbath or we aren't under the Sabbath. The Sabbath was only a picture of trusting God, where you cease from your own labors and you say, God, I believe that you're my source, and I am not going to depend on just my efforts alone. I'm going to depend upon you. And see, this is what it pictured. And now in the new covenant, just as the same as God created everything, He doesn't have to create food for you to eat. He doesn't have to create air for you to breathe. He's created the earth, the trees and stuff, purify the air so that there is a perpetual supply of oxygen. God doesn't have to create anything for us. He's already anticipated all of our needs, and He's already made everything, and now we have entered into His rest. We are benefiting from all of the things that God created, anticipating the needs of the entire human race. You know, this is one reason that I am a little put out with all of the green type of stuff where they say that we're destroying the earth, because it's really a slap in the face of God to think that man could overwhelm and overtax and destroy this earth that God's created. You can go back and, you know, Mount St. Helens, they said it's going to take 10,000 years for that to regenerate. Within 3 years, it had done what they anticipated 10,000 years to do. The earth has the ability to regenerate, to cleanse itself. You can take a polluted stream, and if you'll quit polluting it, the thing will purify itself in a short period of time. I tell you, this whole thing is an ungodly, secular attitude to where man has been exalted to the position of God, and God has been eliminated or decreased to the point that they don't realize that God anticipated everything we could ever do. This earth isn't going to be destroyed by us. God is going to destroy it with a fervent heat. And we aren't going to destroy ourselves anyway. I'll throw that in for free. But see, God anticipated everything, made all of these things, and we've just entered into His rest. We are benefiting from what God created thousands of years ago, and it's already complete, and all we're doing is reaching out and appropriating what God has already provided. That's what the Sabbath was a picture of. And in the New Testament, we now have the reality of the Sabbath to where we are resting and trusting in Him. And that's what the Sabbath was picturing. We now have a relationship to where before you ever needed healing, God had already healed you. By His stripes, you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. You don't have to ask God to heal you. You don't have to do something and then in response to you, God heals you. No, healing is already provided, and all you have to do is just reach out and take it and say thank you. You don't have to ask God to bless you. The Lord's commanded the blessing upon you. In everything that you do before you were ever born, before you ever had your need, the blessing of God is already on you, and you don't have to beg God for supply. You just rest in Him and trust that, Father, I know You've already met my needs. That's what the Sabbath was a picture of. This is the rest that Hebrews chapter 4 is talking about, to where we just rest. And there are very few Christians today who I believe are resting in what Jesus has already provided, but instead they have the mindset that, oh God, I've got this problem. I need You to do something, and they are waiting on God to create their need, to meet their need, to do something, to move, not understanding that God anticipated your needs. You aren't resting in the Lord. And that's what all of this is about. Over in Hebrews chapter 4, if you'll go back there, Hebrews chapter 4, after He said all of these things, in verse 10, for he that is entered into his rest hath also ceased from his own works as God did from his. In other words, you've ceased trying to make God do something. You've ceased trying to get God to bless you. You've ceased trying to earn God's favor. And now you are just resting in the fact that, Father, through Jesus, You've already supplied everything. In the same way that God created everything, and He doesn't create new people, new animals, new trees today, those are all a result of His original creation. The Lord made a new creation, and that's us. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things have passed away, all things have become new. We now have a new creation, and in this new creation, when you need to be healed, God doesn't have to heal you. It was already in the new creation. When you need to be prospered, God doesn't have to prosper you. He's already commanded blessing and prosperity. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, in the new creation through Jesus, everything is already done. And the key to the Christian life is learning how to rest. Trust that, Father, it's done. My bank book says I'm broke, and I have a desire to start bawling and squalling and crying and praying and fasting and doing something to make You move. But you know what? I'm going to rest and trust what the Bible says, that You've already supplied all of my needs. You've already blessed me. You've commanded Your blessing upon me. I am blessed above all people. And I guarantee you, the Christian life is learning how to rest instead of how to work and do something to make God move. That's what He's talking about. If you have entered into His rest, then you have ceased from your own efforts. It's no longer you doing something to make God move. It's you learning how to trust and rely on the fact that God has already done it. And then look at this next verse. In verse 11 it says, Let us labor therefore... to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now this sounds like a contradiction of terms, an oxymoron. How do you labor to rest? Well, if you see rest as just vegging out and going to sleep and doing nothing, you don't labor to rest. But if you see rest as ceasing from your own works, ceasing from thinking that you have to earn God's favor, you have to do something to motivate God and to get God to love you and to answer your prayers. And God, don't You love this person? I've been praying for them for 20 years. Oh God, do something. See, that's not resting. You think that you are the one that is motivating God. And if it wasn't for your intercession, God would just let people go to hell because He doesn't care. It's your great intercession that's moving God. That's trusting in your own effort. You aren't resting in God. So, but if you see rest as just trusting, relying on God, you love this person more than I could ever love this person. You've already provided salvation for them, so I know it's your will. And so, Father, I just thank you that your will is coming to pass. And here am I. Use me. If you can open up a door for me to share with this person, well, then I'll receive it. That's the way you pray for lost people instead of pleading with God as if it's up to Him whether or not they get saved. God's not the one that determines who gets saved. He's made the provision. He's provided it for everybody, but people have a free choice. And so you have to become a channel for God to flow through. But see, when you understand rest that way, it takes effort. You have to labor to rest. It takes effort for you when the banker is calling you, when your checkbook is in the red, when your husband or wife is saying, you got to do something, do something. It takes labor to sit there and say, you know what? My faith is in God. I'm doing what God has told me to do. I trust God and I am not going to panic. I will not get out of rest. I am not going to get into fear. Amen. It takes labor for you when the doctor says you're going to die for you to sit there and say, that's not what God's Word says. He says that by His stripes I was healed. I was healed. I'm not going to be healed. I was already healed. He's already supplied it. And I am not going to panic. I will not get into fear. It takes effort for you to rest like that.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the balance between grace and faith. This live series is available as a CD or DVD album and also as a book. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Ask for Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries, and be sure to specify CD, DVD, or book. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who were not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request Entering the Rest when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Also, be sure to check out the TV broadcast link to find out about the Gospel Truth TV program in your area. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, our Gospel Truth radio program is on about 85 or 90 stations all over the United States. And we are touching people that my television program would never reach through radio. It is a valid method of reaching people, and I am committed to taking every available voice that we can. So I would encourage you that if you have been blessed, help us be a blessing to someone else. We encourage you to become a partner with us. You can go to awmi.net, or you can call 719-635-1111. There are people there that will talk to you and take your pledge, and we just encourage you to become a part of our Gospel Truth Radio Partnership.